Both brokerages are here. Oh, wow. I don't see that very often.
Would you sit in Pete's seat so we don't upset the universe?
He wants a clear shot, Gary.
Yeah. Good morning, Crip. We're going to have a cane fight later.
So, you know, is that what you do now? You're a wave hunter?
Yeah. That's why I have my t-shirt on.
You got it. Your place is up here. You're going to upset the universe if you don't sit in the right place.
Tom took my chair.
Well, do what?
Tom took my chair.
Well, to kick Tom out. Just stand there and say, move. Just smack him, yeah.
Everybody looks like they're in their place.
Romans 3. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. What it really says is to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I've been thinking more and more about what we touched on a little bit yesterday about this meaning of propitiation means to appease by sacrifice. And that God has now set forth or declared or revealed to all men that there's a different something, a different mystery that's going on than all of the tricks that you've learned your entire life. To appease by sacrifice, to make an offering. We've spent many, many days in the past few months on offering, the offerings that you make. I don't think we've spent enough. He is the only offering between man, both horizontally and vertically. And as long as you continue to make offerings to man horizontally, in order for you to be, quote unquote, have a successful marriage or to get along with the people or to have a society or whatever you talk about, that's the indicator, the cosmic tell in this mystery poker game that you haven't accepted the propitiation of Christ. That the necessary for any offering has been made. And just as if you can't forgive someone, that means that God can't forgive you. If you can't see something in your past that you still object to and see that it was absolutely necessary and forgive from your heart, then God can't forgive you. In the same way, if you continually make offerings to men in order to have alleged unity, then it means you haven't seen the propitiation of God or through His Son, and it goes. I mean, it's getting sick in me. It's fine to see it in kids. We see the kids always bringing a little offering or bringing something. But it's absolutely disgusting to see it in His people, if you say that you are of Christ and you still continually make offerings. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Or do you want me to get particular?
Huh?
responsibility for me.
Well, I promise you it does.
I already saw it. I realized just when you started that this propitiation, you know, it's like it sneaks up on you. You don't realize just how often you are denying his propitiation or sacrifice or what he did for your redemption. And you go about trying to redeem yourself all day long.
Well, I want to get some specific examples from you.
Or do you want one?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just tell you what I saw a minute ago. It's like we talk about the sin offering is what you are. I mean, it covers what you are. That's what I saw, that my whole existence is that. So without that propitiation, I'm doomed to...
Make offerings. Constantly.
Yeah.
We make offerings in our language. In fact, we are taught to make offerings. We are taught to make offerings in order to have a polite society. The one that just sticks out in my mind and will be there forever is... I had a particular cousin who now I really get along with, and he's great. We just get along fine without any. But we're the same age, and we always had birthday parties for all his cousins, and there's a jillion cousins in Minnesota when I was little, and so my mother is there, and we're getting ready to leave, and my mother said, "Tell Marshall and his mother how nice a time you had." And I had a terrible time, and I refused to do it. And I got the crap beat out of me by my dad because I refused to give an offering. Now, that's fine out there, because in order to be out, I mean, we're in the world, but now we're not of the world. But in here, with us, you cannot give offerings anymore. You can't treat anyone else differently than you do everybody else. It's like, it's constant. I mean, if you watch, you know, and you hang out only with the people that you like and the people that are like you, and those are the ones you invite to go to dinner, but the others you sort of ignore and you leave them alone. And then some people, who they just have to give offerings to everybody. They have to, and the offering is... anything, you know. Well, let's talk about something. You know what I mean? Because they are trying to make an offering in order that they can prevent what they believe would be separation if they don't make the offering. And it goes on and on and on and on. And then if you make an offering and it's not accepted, then you just get furious. Right, Harry? Huh?
You're a pain in the ass. Was that an offer?
No.
Aggravate.
Well, I mean, but do we understand how deep this is?
Well, it's understanding how evil it is that hit me a minute ago.
Well, it's totally evil.
Yeah, because, I mean, until you see that, making offerings are just normal day in life. Realize it's contrary to what the finished work of Christ is, that you're trying to redeem yourself through your witty inventions.
Well, I want somebody to, I want us to have some specificity instead of me just talking. Can anybody give an example of what they do, not what somebody else does? You don't want me to do this. You don't want me to go and point out your offerings, do you?
One of my core programs is to be liked by everybody. I mean, I'm overly concerned with what other people think of me. So I have to constantly make an offering so that you'll think that I'm witty and that means I have value, that means I can live here.
Well, any concern is overly concerned. So you kind of slough that one. I'm overly concerned about. Even if you're minusculely concerned about what other people think of you, it's an offering. Anybody making any offerings in their marriage? Gary?
No. I don't make offerings.
You make an offering by withholding what's there. That's the point of it.
That's the non-offering offering.
But in God's eyes, it's an offering. Because you're not being you. You're being something other than you so that you can have the appearance of peace, so you can say peace, peace, when there is no peace. This is one offering that's eternal, it's perfect, it's infinite. There's no situation that it doesn't cover. So you can't be overly concerned. If you have any concern whatsoever about whether somebody, what somebody's response to you is, or whether they like you or not, then you are hindering the mystery of Christ and his fulfillment in you. It's one of these things about how we, you know, we're asking fish to describe the ocean because we swim in the sea of offerings.
Offering's the opposite of love.
Well, it's hypocrisy, it's everything.
It's an attempt to manipulate, so it's an offering that causes effect or self-fulfillment.
You know why I like this evil one right here, Josanna? Because she never makes me an offering. She's one of the few that never, ever, ever, it's the farthest thing from her mind to ever think that she's going to make an offering to me so that for some whatever godly reason.
I'm a close personal friend.
Doesn't do you any good. I remember many, many years ago when I'm sorry to pick on Gary, but he's so easy. When Gary just wanted to be my friend or my buddy, well, that just made me ill. It's because it was an offering. To me, who in the hell would make an offering to me? And Harry gets upset if I don't wave back when he waves or if I don't acknowledge his presence. Or he used to, and he will say he used to, so he won't get all upset now.
No, the longer I sit here, the more aggravated I get.
At what? At who?
You.
You're getting aggravated at me. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, because in terms of what you're teaching, the doctrine, it's absolutely, completely true. Amen. I completely agree. As it touches the relationship between you and I, you just aggravate the shit out of me. Because I am convinced, without a doubt, that you treat me differently treat other people. I've seen evidence of it 10,000 times. It's impolite. It's demeaning. I think that you almost always think you have to teach me a lesson, set me straight, etc., etc., etc. And while when I'm in desperate trouble, I dearly appreciate that. If anybody asked me, I would tell them that I think you saved my life. I know you saved my life. But on a day-to-day basis, not all the time, but a percentage of the time, I think you are just a jerk toward me. And it aggravates me. And it would aggravate me in anybody. But I think that you treat me, on occasion, you treat me differently than other people. Not that it matters. I don't expect it to change, but that's what's going on here.
Well, that's a good, perfect example. It goes back to the original program when you and I and Bloom were together and you were convinced that Bloom and I thought you were something less than nothing. Well, that's just crazy. I couldn't live without you. I couldn't exist without you. We couldn't do what we do without you.
I think that's true, and I believe it. I'm just saying that there's this behavior that just...
Well, again, when you see it happen, call me on it. But it's like there's no reason to go any further in Romans until we see how evil the offerings that we make one to another are to anyone. It doesn't matter if when you're doing it out in the world, then you're doing it just, you have to, there's a part of you that, you know, it takes, to be you in the world, it's like, that's going to happen just before the end comes, because it's too dangerous. You know, I pray that you would always be that way, but, you know, I understand. But here, this has to be a place where you're always you, where you say what is there, so there's never a difference between what you are feeling inside and what you're showing outwardly. Never. But we've learned all these social mores and customs that were necessary, otherwise we couldn't have survived. We would have been shot or something. But now they have no place in the kingdom of God. This is where you must see it so that you can go to war with it internally, because it's all an internal mechanism. Whether somebody likes you or not is immaterial. It's not about that. Every relationship has to be totally and completely vertical. It's with everything has to be you to God, and then what happens on a horizontal basis is his promise. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you will have fellowship. Then you will have everything you want. But if you immediately take your eyes off that vertical relationship and make some offering in order for you to, for whatever reason, so that you don't feel separate or you're afraid you're going to get whatever, then you've made the cross of Christ of none effect. And it goes on and on and on and on with impunity. Tom, what's going on?
I'm just listening to what you're saying. That makes sense.
Does it make any sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Most of
it. If you think I'm wrong, let's talk about it.
I was thinking that it's tied to that thing about suffering. We think suffering is strange, so we're all these things we do to avoid that. It's just another way of looking at why we do it. I don't want to suffer.
Right, because you think you'll suffer some kind of rejection or whatever the thing is. And so you've got to try to make these offerings. And where you do it most intimately is you do that in marriage. And that makes the marriage just boring. I don't know about that, but I mean, I would guess.
Yeah, I don't want to suffer more than I want to love. And that's so not wanting to suffer
makes love impossible.
The other thing, and then it's everything's downhill.
And so you, and again, and this because I'm using this word doesn't mean I'm picking on Gary. You make an infinite number of truces that only come out when you're really upset, and then you can use them as ammunition. You keep them in your armory inside. Now, does it get anywhere clear, Tom?
No, not really.
You don't have any armory, any weapons in your armory that you save when you and Darlene get into it.
I'm sure I do. I just can't. I can't really think of it. I really can't. If I do it, I don't think about it. I don't think about throwing it away.
Okay, let's. Let me read this again. Being justified freely, verse 24, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness alone, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. that, all, everything we've said this morning is trying to explain that in your interpersonal relationships. And if you may not, you know, if it's fine if you say, I don't believe what you're saying. I don't believe that means that, Ole. I believe that just means that, you know, something else. But whatever it is, or you may say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. And so you just sit and... But any whatever is going on inside you, that's what's to be shared. And that's to be shared all the time. Now, the one thing that you know, I hope that you have seen this over the many years, you never have to be concerned with what I'm thinking about. Because whatever I'm thinking about, I tell you. You know, and that's to me is what faith is. Without that, then you're still manipulating and walking, and you've got a different thing going on inside you than is what's going on in you. I mean, outwardly.
This I was just looking at how this preceded by all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and how personal that is. At first read, it's y'all have sinned and y'all have fallen short. The old man would tend to outwardly visualize it, but when it's seen as what it meant to be, personal, I have sinned and I have fallen short, and I have said he didn't need to go to the cross because I can justify myself and I can behave well enough to get along and I can do all this stuff. I've totally annihilated the essence of and the power of the gospel.
And the evidence that you have denied it and accounted the blood of this covenant as nothing is when you make an offering. That's why, you remember when we studied, when we first studied this, the feast, we talked about you shall make an offering nowhere other than the place that the Lord chooseth. And so we think that just means, well, that means those old sacrifices when he used to cut bulls' necks and sheep about it. No, it means you shall make no other offering than the offering that's made on the altar of the Holy One. And the only place that is on in the New Jerusalem. It's this reality. So always, whenever you make an offering, you leave the mercy seat to go to the judgment seat. And you've gone to the judgment seat because there's something inside you, whether it's conscious or unconscious, it doesn't matter. There's something inside you that says, in order for me to accomplish or to be whatever I think I should be, I have to take this response. And so therefore, if you go to a job, you have to couch your words. You have to act differently. If you go to your family, you put on a different face for them. If you go to, you know, whatever, every place you go, you're in effect a different person. And that is pure evil. And if you know what I'm talking about, then this has got to penetrate you. If you don't, then you're just going to, you know, just go phew. Because your ear isn't circumcised. Yeah, you're right. I've probably treated you really, really bad over the years. But it has nothing to do with whether what I think of you. It has to do with this idea that you have to stop making offerings. And if you think it's some personal thing where I have something against you, I promise you, you're wrong.
Sense the evil one at work so delicately here, because as you speak, it's like, let me see, yeah, I do that, but I don't do that, and I'm better at it than I used to be there. And it's just like this constant negotiation of whether or not I'm really that evil.
If you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. And this, everything that I've just said this morning has to do with being a respecter of persons. You're a respecter of persons when you respond differently to different situations. You have to be. You're a respecter of persons if you're making an offering to anyone. Is any part of this hitting you, Jeff? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand. I'm formulating some questions.
Let's just speak them. What question do you have?
I'm trying to make the distinction between offerings and responsibilities that you have in an adult relationship.
You have no responsibility in an adult relationship. Your only responsibility is the death of self that he might live. And every other responsibility is his business. If you think you have the responsibility, then you are saying the cross wasn't enough for you because you've got to take care of these little issues. You understand that?
I do understand.
It's either all or nothing. Otherwise, you're saying you have a form of godliness, but you're denying his ability to take care of these places. The great place that people do this is, well, that's fine for you, Ollie, but you're single. You don't know what it is to have a family and a bunch of kids. I have to act differently than you say. And I say, bullshit. It doesn't matter where you are. You can't be 2 or 3 or 15 people. You have to be one. So that this religion that's going on, do all of you agree that the scriptures say over and over that you each are the temple of the living God? If you agree with that, then you cannot possibly justify any response in which the inward manifestation isn't also outward. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. Mr. Bojo, is any of this communicating? Mm-hmm. What's your response?
Well, I'm agreeing with you. I mean, this act of acting differently in different situations in front of different people is a mental illness. It's schizophrenia. I mean, it's pure, most manifest state. I mean, that can't be good. Aside from the spiritual context.
I would ask that you be open to the Holy Spirit to today and the rest of the day and tonight, that you would be open to see every time you make an offering to somebody so that you can see how commonplace it is, so that the abandonment and repentance can be deeper than you've ever dreamed of. Again, he cannot occupy in that part of you where you are. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. Take a big breath.
I notice we're still in Romans 3.
Well, that's because we went to Pentecost. We had Pentecost.